financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rahm.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rahm, who is welcoming a special guest to this week's show.
So, Jess, I'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Bob Weil. He's a longtime sports podiatrist and fitness expert, and basically all things fitness. So whether it's money or feet or anything in between, Dr. Bob knows about it. So, Dr. Bob, welcome.
Hey, it's great to join you. Again, you know, like we both laughed that the sports doctor was going to join the Money Doctor. You joined me on my radio show last month, so great to be here.
Thank you very much. So would you just give our listeners a little bit of a background about yourself and why you and I have connected to talk about these things?
Okay. I'm celebrating like my 45th year, give or take a few weeks, on the radio, mostly as the sports doctor. And again, I'm a sports podiatrist, and the radio show is called The Sports Doctor, and it's about all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, whether it's concussions, whether it's nutrition, whether it's sports psychology. Of course, the role of the foot is a big deal, being a sports podiatrist. I am the co-author of the best-selling book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Youth sports is a big topic. And I am a 2019 inductee into the National Fitness Hall of Fame, which, by the way, over the weekend, celebrated their 20th anniversary. So happy anniversary, National Fitness Hall of Fame.
Happy anniversary, indeed. How nice to have you on the show at the same time. That's wonderful. So when you and I connected and talked about preparing these high schoolers for college when it comes to what they think is going to happen in the sports world, given the image and likeness laws that have come about in the last couple of years. You had plenty to say about it.
Last couple of weeks. Yeah, you know, even in your world of, money doctor and the whole world of money management, if you're not healthy, then none of it matters. So the whole idea, whether we're talking about super seniors or we're talking about parents of young athletes, like you just mentioned, where the world of college sports has been turned upside down regarding all of these different ramifications, athletes being paid, different situations. And you and I also absolutely paid attention to a topic that I've talked about for decades, which is the families with young boy or girl athletes. They might be traveling teams. They might be club teams. It's very expensive. So educating parents and coaches about all these important points is something we include on the Sports Doctor regarding educating parents and coaches.
Well, I think you're doing a great service when it comes to sports. I mean, we talk about sports on our show just about how expensive they are and how parents manage to finance very often or pay for the sports that just help these kids get through high school or even grade school.
Yes, my world of figure skating, you know, where the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up here in Naperville, Illinois. I put orthotics in the skates when he was like 10 years old. I'm still putting orthotics and 10-year-old figure skater skates.
Yeah.
And when we have these kids who are 10, 11, 12 years old are already very, very serious with what they're doing, whether it's figure skating or ballet or gymnastics or whatever happens to be. And club and traveling teams, again, is an expensive situation many times, let alone the traveling expenses. So, again, the topic of, you know, trying to be educated regarding if your son or daughter is involved in one of these situations, you could be costing parents $10,000, $20,000 a year for their 12-year-old's volleyball membership. It's a big topic.
It is, certainly. And I think, you know, what parent wants to say, especially when a child comes home from school and says, I made the team or I'd like to try out for, what parent wants to say, we can't afford that. So,
absolutely. And again, you know, my main emphasis is, you know, it's interesting. We have a documentary that'll be coming out sometime in the next few months, Where Our Children Play. Chesapeake Films, Joe Franco is the creator. And for 4 years or so, I've had him on the radio. And the reason I bring him up is when he first talked about the business of youth sports, he said, you know, it's a $13, $14 billion industry, Dr. Bob.
Mm.
5 years later, as we're getting ready to launch this thing, he said it's $100 billion business. It's a big, big deal. And staying out of problems with physical injury, overuse injury because of the pressure on these kids, or mentally, you know, and in the last Olympics, we saw the, you know, Simone Biles talking about mental challenges and Michael Phelps. So we really pay big attention to those aspects and topics even more than we do about how expensive it is, Dr. Francis.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And the lack of attention given to the expense, you know, first of all, causes parents to do things like refinance their home or get a home equity line or put money on credit cards. And they don't want to share that with their kids. They're busy trying to keep their kids in childhood and moving forward as positively as possible. A lot of that is about the mindset, which you talk a lot about. And so when we talk about, you know, healthy mind, who wants their kids to be thinking about what this costs them? So there's a real secrecy to the amount of expense that is involved in this.
Oh, many times we'll see with individual coaching, one of the organizations that I'm involved with is a board of advisors in the sports medicine fitness area, is Baseball Blue Book. Baseball Blue Book was founded in 1909 as the one place to go to find out all sorts of information. Where should my young boy go to school? Who should his coaches be? Et cetera, et cetera. How should he train? All of these kinds of things. One of the points being, you know, individual coaching for some of these kids, whether it's a quarterback coach or it's a specific sports coach, again, very expensive. So if you're an athlete yourself and you have children and therefore you have big plans, exciting plans for them, of course, to experience sports and all the great things about it, you also want to understand that it's going to be potentially very, very expensive. So being educated on what makes sense is an important topic to try to stay out of trouble. You know, where were you when I needed you?
Well, that's very interesting. Is the Bible really still the blue book that was written in 1909?
Well, now it's all, we're very, very excited. It's all going digital, and we're very excited about the launching of radio shows. Information, again, you know, in this day and age, you know, is, whether it's recruiting, whether it's scholarships, whether it's, and we could talk about this in almost any particular sport, where we have all of these questions regarding these pressures. And again, like you and I spoke about when you were on Sports Doctor last month, the whole world, for instance, of college sports, if your son or daughter is a very talented athlete going to a college, they now, you could sign a $1 million contract with the local car dealer. You know, years ago, the NCAA, Dr. Francis, if you signed a hat or whatever, they throw you out of school with the rules. So there's been tremendous upheaval of money in sports. Hey, yesterday, Kirk Cousins signed for $350 million for 4 years or whatever it was. So all areas, whether it's the parenting side or the coaching side or the scholarship side, where you have new stuff, new rules. You know what that young girl, Kate Clark, is worth coming out of Iowa, who just set all those scoring records?
Yes.
And interesting, you know, years ago, I had somebody on the show, and they were a financial person. Their point was that 5 years after a professional athlete's career, about 75% of them are broke.
Broke, yep.
And
yep.
This was like, whoa, what are you So again, the education, even if you just signed a multi-million-dollar deal, your 18-year-old son quarterback, then you want to be able to be educated on, let alone if you win the lottery, right?
Yeah. You know, you were talking about this NIL name, image,
yes,
and how much money these kids can sign for. We're asking, you know, high schoolers to go into college and sign these deals. I would say they're ill-equipped. They're not equipped at all to manage this money. And who gets this money, after all, right? Why is it such a competition in the colleges?
The Wild West.
It's now absolutely.
The Wild West. So, again, having parents educated, if your son or daughter is involved at this kind of level, having coaches educated, again, if their players are involved at this kind of level, then we want them to be educated regarding options and smart decisions when, again, you know, some of these challenges could be overwhelming, both, you know, physically and mentally. And education is the name of the game. You know, and awareness is such a big word because, again, one of my favorite sports writers, he's been a guest of mine numerous times, Rick Kellender, is one of the Chicago Sun-Times lead sports writers. He's written for Sports Illustrated for years. And this is a gigantic topic that they're talking about is money in sports. You know, a college makes $150 million a year from their football program, and the kid doesn't get a nickel besides the scholarship. So, you know, I would imagine that you guys are, you know, have a whole new area of challenge for educating some of these families.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, that debate has been a hot debate for a while about, you know, should these athletes be compensated or not? And, you know, the colleges can pay them for scholastic excellence, which is something parents should pay attention to. If you think you've got a hot shot athlete and they're going to go to college and make $1 million, you know, you need to think about just what Dr. Bob just said about the scholarship.
Well, I'll tell you something that's amazing. The term student athlete was a legal term years ago. So a college, once that boy graduated, let's say he had surgery, he had knee surgery because of an injury in football. And once he graduated, there's no more coverage and whatever. You were not an employee of the school. You were a student athlete. It was a legal term.
Exactly.
And it's interesting. If you were selling peanuts in the stadium and you got hurt, you would always be covered. Workman's comp. So this whole, it was an interesting world of semantics, and it still is, regarding, you know, some of these different challenges besides, let's say, that athlete gets a concussion, has all sorts of complications 5 years later, 10 years later. Who's responsible, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a situation where, I believe it or not, I've included lawyers. Come on and try to tell us what the heck is going on here.
On that note, we're going to take a short break.
You are listening to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Rahm on WHMP. We'll be right back.
Every day, financial ads claiming to be different from the competition. Are they? I'm Francis Rahm, the Money Doctor, and I'm about to make a bold statement. I believe the thing to focus on isn't their uniqueness, it's yours. No one has the same financial situation or needs as you, and no one can help us help you better than you. But the truth is, when it comes to managing money, most of us are not as successful as we'd like to be. No matter how focused we are, it's almost impossible to separate emotion, and being in a relationship can further compound the issue. That's why I developed Hug Your Money. Financial coaching, coupled with online software and tools to empower you to manage money wisely. We guide you every step of the way to resolve immediate issues and plan for your financial future with modeling scenarios. So whether it's debt, budget, retirement planning, or a financial crisis, having a Hug coach in your corner is like having a new best financial friend. Hug Your Money is as unique as you are. In fact, it's patented. Visit HugYourMoney.com.
So we're back with Dr. Bob. While we left off talking about lawyers, so
I'll tell you something. You know, there was a contest years ago between lawyers, doctors, and insurance companies. And realistically, the insurance companies won over the years regarding all of these different challenges that we might be facing, you know, our healthcare system. It's no news to everybody. And that's why we have people on all the time trying to explain to us, whether it's Medicare or whether it happens to be school situations, the ramifications of some of the different healthcare challenges. And sometimes it becomes overwhelming for many, many individuals. So we want an educated population as much as possible. And again, when we're talking youth sports and we're talking traveling teams and club teams, and there's a chapter in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, called The Prodigy Sports, where, you know, we want young boys and girls, everybody listening, to play multiple sports when they're growing up. We don't like early specialization, and we see repetitive motion injuries. Imagine the tennis player swinging the racket 5,000 times a week, or the skater doing nothing but jumping, doing the same thing. However, when your son or daughter is in love with a particular sport, like, think gymnastics or ballet or figure skating, and now even, you know, soccer and tennis, that's what they want to do, even at 11, 12, 13 years old. So my show over the years, where we've had various experts, whether it's nutrition, whether it's the physical challenges of training, whether it's all of these aspects, regardless of the sport, we want to be able to be educated, because overuse injuries are an epidemic in capital letters.
Yes.
Overuse, the famous Tommy John elbow surgery that even the non-sports fan recognizes. My orthopedic guests who come on, like Chris Ahmad from the Yankees or Dr. Brian Cole with the Bulls and White Sox, there's Tommy John surgery being done on teenagers. Just tremendous overuse.
Yep.
So we need to continue. And the more talented your son or daughter is, the more you can become susceptible to all of these things that we're talking about, overscheduling and over-traveling. And Dr. Weil, don't you understand, my daughter's ankles are killing her, but if she doesn't take two Advil three times a day, she might get cut from the team All these kinds of things are a big deal. And again, the families and the parents and the coaches are in the middle of it when it comes to the responsibility of, oh, by the way, the kids are supposed to be having fun. I thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah. You know, you brought up a good point about some of the sports that maybe are not at the top of the list. Maybe they're not football players. As a podiatrist, you do a lot with custom orthotics. And just to slip a little of myself in here for just a second, you know, I'm a ballroom dancer. And I was at the point where I could not dance any longer. And somebody put custom orthotics, tiny little custom orthotics.
Bingo.
Didn't show in my ballroom shoes. And I continued to dance after that. It corrected my feet. And
I still dance today. Yes. And it's the same kind of orthotics size-wise we might put in a figure skate or a woman's dress shoe.
Yep.
Orthotics are, again, the whole point of alignment, the whole point of balance and stability has a lot to do with foot mechanics. Imagine you're looking at somebody who's got flat feet. Next to them is somebody else who's got high arches. Next to them is someone who's bow-legged. Over there, somebody's knock-kneed. Somebody's got leg length differences. So the type of shoe you're in, the sport you're in, I'm a foot specialist, and half the young girls I've seen over the decades are knee problems. Many persistent lower extremity problems are foot-related. And again, some of the best athletes I've seen over the years are dancers. There's no doubt about it. And once we start getting barefoot and we get into point shoes and whatever, that's a great example. I remember you shared that on the show. The parents ask me all the time, I have a great line for you, parents and or coaches, does my son or daughter or do I need orthotics? Great question. I say, let's talk about whether you'd benefit. When properly done, whether we're talking about an 80-year-old super senior or a 12-year-old tennis player, when done properly, orthotics almost always are a step up to prevent problems. You know, today, preventing falling is such a big deal with our super senior population. So include podiatry, especially if your son or daughter is a serious athlete, or you are, or you have a history of postural problems, include podiatry. Are you in the best shoe? Would orthotics, what role could they play with you? So I'm glad you brought that up because it's a big deal in the area of fitness and sports medicine.
Well, these are the things that people don't necessarily think about. They might be complaining about their back or their knee, but really it may be stemming from the way they walk or the way they stand or the fact that their feet are turning in or out or something like that. And I think we tend to look at, we tend to point our finger at the most obvious thing immediately. And just to talk a little bit more about money on this, we do the same thing with the money. We're busy focused on the sports and will my kid go to college and are they going to turn pro? And how much money is this? Yeah, we're shelling it out now, but how much money is this really going to yield in the end? These guys are going to have, you know, my kid's going to have this great professional life. And the fact of the matter is,
professional life is one out of millions.
Exactly.
You know, the college division one is one out of hundreds of thousands and thousands. So again, you have to be realistic when we're talking about some of these goals. You know, it's interesting, getting back to my gold medalist figure skater.
Yeah,
I can't believe we just celebrated 14 years since this kid won the gold medal in men's figure skating. But I had his mother on my radio show the month after he won. And I said to her, because it was such a topic with parents and sports parents, I said, Tanya, how did you know it wasn't your goal, that it was your son's goal, that you weren't pushing him, that you weren't overdoing it because he was so talented? She said, you know, Dr. Bob, the kid had ice time at 6:15 in the morning. I never had to wake him up. There he was in the car with his gloves on. So your overzealous parents and coaches, in many instances, again, either giving parents maybe false hope. After all, we want you on the club team and et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that, again, these things that can be very, you know, parents are spending tens of thousands of dollars a year for specialized training and for traveling and sports teams and expenses. So that's why it becomes such a big topic. And again, it puts even more, that young boy or girl who knows their parents are upset about and hassling about, you know, it's that ice time is so expensive. The whole thing's a nightmare. So this is why many times we're interested in stressing the positive side of things And one of the main goals, of course, is to stay out of physical and mental pressure. There's so much attention to mental health today. It's the biggest topic.
For sure. Certainly. We do have some time left, but I wonder if you would talk a little bit about where this NIL money goes, the fact that students getting into college can earn some of this money, but who actually gets it? Is it mostly just the superstars that get it? What should parents expect for this, and what should the students expect?
I think if you're in one of the named sports, like football or basketball, it's a whole different world. If you're on the girls' fencing team or the rowing team, there's going to be nowhere near the notoriety. So, again, this is all new stuff. So, again, we say to people, be educated, find out from people who can help you regarding how to handle some of these different pressures, whether it's the physical pressure, preventing injuries, enhancing performance, whether it's the mental pressure. Again, there's a tremendous mental pressure on everybody involved, the more talented your son or daughter is. And then there's the financial side. So this is, again, why we want people to be educated. And I'm sure there's many, many people in your profession who are paying much more attention to this regarding, you know, being educated. This NIL thing is brand new. It's like the transfer portal. Every time we turn around, these athletes are transferring from one school to another and et cetera. So it's a little bit of Wild West, and that's why we want people to make educated decisions and to remember the importance of rest and recovery and reducing stress out there, sports mom and dads.
Even for the sports mom and dads, which brings me to my point. You said there's probably a lot of people in our industry, you know, kind of getting on the bandwagon and thinking about educating these people and how to manage this money going into college. And I would say I think there are probably a lot of people looking to manage the money that is made at college or in
Exactly. Well, that makes an awful lot of sense. But again, it's a new world. That hasn't been the reality except for the past couple of years, tops.
Yeah.
So again, that's going to be a very, very interesting time. I know we're running out of time. So if people want to find out about me and my show, have them go to sportsdoctorradio.com. We have thousands of followers, lots of education on LinkedIn, on Facebook, the other platforms. And if they want to follow us, get educated, at SportsDoc, DOC Radio. And it's been a pleasure trading radio shows with you, Dr. Francis and Jess.
Well, I appreciate that. But we're not quite ready to let you go yet, if you don't
mind.
I still have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
So one question I have for you, Dr. Bob, if you don't mind sharing it, is to talk a little bit about female athletes and what kind of unique hurdles you see them face, because apparently recently women's basketball, volleyball, and softball and swimming, and diving, I think, have beaten out men's baseball and soccer in these NIL deals.
Well, again, you know, the female athlete today, different world. The unbelievable skills in all the different sports. Bigger, faster, stronger. There are five times as many knee problems, females to males. As girls go through puberty and the hips widen, there's a different angle down to the knee. Hormones come in, there's different flexibility. So many knee problems are foot related. So I tell parents and coaches, because many times if the feet don't hurt, they don't pay attention. There's knee surgery performed where the doctor never took the girl's shoes off. So when it comes to the female athlete, we see all sorts of knee problems, overuse. We want to pay attention to foot mechanics as well as the idea of the physical training as these girls are becoming so much more skilled in all of these different sports. And the business side, again, of girls, women's sports has quadrupled, even in the past 5 years. So again, much more financial concern regarding the young female athlete. But physically, again, this is what I just mentioned, ACL, the major knee tear injury, still 4-5 to 1, girls to boys, because of biomechanics. So you want to be paying big, big attention posturally to these young girls and the importance of physical training in all sports. These young girls are incredibly impressive. Watch women's basketball. You get blown away.
Yeah, women's basketball, you're talking about those NIL deals, that grew by 186% in 2022.
Now, you see nothing yet. Women's softball is exploding as we talk. And I was dealing with the Olympic and national volleyball teams since the 70s and 80s. I have pictures. There's not more of a physical athletic capability when we're talking about these volleyball players. And you mentioned, again, diving, the whole swimming side. Mm-hmm. So there's an explosion. And but which sport do you see the highest percentage of these NIL concerns in your experience?
I think it probably has to be women's basketball recently. I mean, compared to men's basketball, that men's grew at 67%. Women's grew at 186%.
Yes, isn't it amazing?
But I think across the board, you know, and you've driven this point home quite often, is that we really need to talk about education and educating these kids and their parents, actually, about what to do, because they could be managing thousands.
Well, that's why I have the three words that I've been talking about for 100 years, if you take a few weeks, as a main part of the sports doctor. The first word is awareness. What are we talking about? What do we need to really expose? The second word is education. What we've spent the past whatever amount of time talking about. Number three is, again, a positive action, making a difference, making some changes, incorporating different things. And all of these topics involve these same three major, major areas. You know, you've got to be aware of what the concerns are, what some of the new challenges are, and they are huge. And again, the world of young girls' athletics has exploded. Youth sports, again, look for the documentary where our children play, The Challenge of Youth Sports, probably by the summer. All of these challenges, from the overzealous parents on the sidelines, from the reliance, you know, you take a look at these serious young kids, half of them are living on Advil and ibuprofen in order to be able to continue to play because everything hurts. So we really need to pay attention. Again, the social media challenges, good luck to all of us, Dr. Francis.
Well, I agree, but I will say, if somebody wants to take positive action and talk to Dr. Bob Weil, can you tell us how they can reach you?
Yes, if you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, you'll find out all sorts of information, great stories. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. International guests, national guests, local guests, myriad of topics, so all sorts of information. And my show is live every Wednesday, bbsradio.com, the same network that your show also airs on.
And don't forget to check out the book, hashtag HeySportsParents. Dr. Bob, it's great to have you, and I hope you'll come back again.
Great joining you.
This was Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. We'll see you next week right here on WHMP.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. Getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella.
But I want to say something.
Oh, okay,
I want to say,
okay, go for it.
I was terrified that once we retired, we would never be able to take a vacation, and that was really important to me. With the budget that we prepared together with Frances, we still would be able to have some money for vacation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's been extremely important for helping to make us feel secure about what our future is. Hi, I'm Robin. We're certainly glad we took the advice of a friend. Cheryl?
So, Edinburgh Fringe Festival, here we come.
We can probably make it possible. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And hug your money.
Hug works best when we work together. Visit hugyourmoney.com. Hug your money. So unique, it's patented.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hello.
Well, hello, Jess. How are you today?
I am good. We are talking Social Security, though, which doesn't seem like it's going well.
It doesn't seem like a sexy topic either, but I'll tell you what, it affects a lot of people. Yeah. Wow. Social Security. So there's been, for many years now, talk about the Social Security being cut in 2033.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about why that would happen, could happen, and probably will happen. And, you know, what could make it a little bit better and what you can do about it, whether you're already taking Social Security or whether you're considering taking Social Security earlier because you want to make sure to get in on it or delaying. It's one of the most common questions we get. Should I take my Social Security now or later?
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen if Social Security ends?
Well, and the fact that they're even thinking about cutting it seems like it's very little to live off of anyway, if that's all you have.
There's no doubt about that. And some statistics show that the largest portion of people's retirement income today mm-hmm. is Social Security. And the average monthly check is about $1,400. So that will tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be able to live on that for sure.
No. And so if somebody's saying, and by the way, it's going to run out in 2033, that strikes fear into the hearts of anybody who is counting on it or who is already receiving it.
Mm-hmm. Can we start with just a small rant?
Yeah.
Okay.
On your part or mine?
on my part, I just want to say, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on it as a financial expert, but it just irks me so much when we talk about ending Social Security or like this free money we're getting. We pay into Social Security with every paycheck for all of our working life. So I don't love the idea that it's kind of positioned as a gift we're getting.
Yeah, I would agree with you and take the other side as well and say, just because you say we paid in all this time, if you actually look at what you pay in versus what people are getting paid out, you'll see it's not quite in line with what you've paid in for some other kind of an investment.
Well, but, depending on how long you live, right?
Well, yes. And your rant is heard and well taken, because I think most of us feel this way. So this is why it's worth, you know, talking a bit about this and how Social Security has worked in the past, how it might work in the future, and this idea about what Social Security is.
Okay.
So Social Security was never intended to be a retirement check, quite honestly. It was intended to be there for people who didn't quite have enough retirement from their company pensions or whatever.
Which have mainly gone away.
Yeah. So the government comes out and says you can have a 401k and your company can match that. And it's supposed to augment your pension, because we knew even way back when, hey, you know, we know what year people are being born. We know what their average life expectancy is. The writing is on the wall that at some point we're going to have a lot more people collecting Social Security and not as many working.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is, people are having less babies, smaller families. That's not hard to see coming. That's a train coming down the track,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, at some point they said, well, we're going to have to augment this. So let's start this new savings account where you can put tax-deferred money away called a 401k. So that sounded great. People with pensions jumped on the bandwagon with a 401k. Companies matched some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then a little while later, companies didn't match so much. Then the pensions started to disappear. I hardly meet anybody today who's got a good pension. So if you've got one, good for you, you know. And somehow this 401k became a replacement for the pensions. And why wouldn't it?
And let me just say, though, that a lot of companies stopped matching at all, especially during COVID, and it never came back.
That's absolutely right. I recently heard of one company matching $2 for every dollar the employee put in, and it was like Christmas for me. I was like, yay! So, go put money in there. You're getting 200% no matter what happens here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was, but it's very rare. And
right.
So you're right. Companies don't match at all now. But from a company standpoint, politically, you had to see this coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to let companies stop having pensions and decide if they want to match or not in a 401k. Well, they saved a boatload of money in pensions.
Right.
Bonus for saving for retirement was shifted onto people, employees, to contribute to their 401k if they could afford to. Mm-hmm. And we've many shows talking about how people over-contribute sometimes while they're taking on a lot of debt because they don't have enough money in the end of their paycheck. So, yikes, this is clearly a problem. Social Security has been a problem for a long time. Now, in decades past, it worked fine, mm-hmm. right? There were enough people working and putting money into the system to pay the people who were taking money out of the system. So, for instance, in 1935, we had 150 workers for every retiree. Do you know what we have today?
I'm going to say less than half.
Three.
What?
Three.
Wow.
We now have three workers for every retiree, according to these statistics, right? So what they're saying is, let's go back to this a minute. I'm going to go back to your rant. The money that you're taking out of Social Security mm-hmm. is not your money. You're putting money in. You know, it's not like a retirement fund where they see how much money you put in and they pay that money out.
Right.
The money out is actually the money that was paid in by the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
The money that you're taking out of Social Security, if you're drawing your payments now, is what is being paid by current workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has made it work in thin times is this trust fund. So the Social Security Administration has a trust fund that has about $3 trillion in it right now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So now if we only have three workers for every retiree, we have a problem, big problem. It's shifted radically. Mm-hmm. And what made this worse than anything is COVID-19. We had COVID-19 throwing tens of millions of workers out of work.
Right.
Right? Not paying money in, being out of work, trying to get back into the system. Some of them decided to take their retirement if they were close enough to do it. You know, nobody expected that. Politically, this is a nightmare. And add to that an election year.
Right.
And, man, this thing's on fire, right?
Well, I know the argument's been going on for a long time, but it just seems to me like the people that, you know, now that it's 3-1 versus what it was before, that's kind of not the current generation's fault. So you still have to pay in, but this could be going away by 2033. It just doesn't seem fair. It seems almost like the Security Trust Fund needs to kick in more when there's less people. And then maybe if, you know, future generations, there's more, then they'd have to kick in less. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense mathematically, but I'm sure people would object to that. So I don't have a big family, but somebody else did that was in the generation before me, and I have to fund their retirement, so I have to contribute more, right? And the inverse. So, but you're right. Something has to be done to level the playing field here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is, as I've said many times, politically unlikely, particularly in an election year. And I would say to people, be careful about this one. If somebody is running, and I haven't, you know, I'm not picking anybody in particular. I don't have anybody in mind. But if somebody is running and saying, "But we're going to fix the Social Security situation," and they're not telling you how,
mm-hmm.
beware, mm-hmm. because it seems that there are only a couple of things that they could do, and we have talked about this, and I think we did one whole show about this. But they could, in some way, increase taxes. Nobody loves to do it. But the money's got to come from somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or they could decrease benefits. Now, the decreasing benefits part is the one we've talked about in the past, that wait a minute, you've got to fix Social Security, so you're going to cut all the social kinds of benefits. I'm not a socialist, right? But this is a sort of a model where we are funding, you know, how people get their food when they have food challenges, you know, mm-hmm. food and how people handle daycare when they can't afford it, how, you know, what happens when people are out of work. That's all stuff that the government system is funding on an ongoing basis that may have to change if we don't want our retirees homeless and hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, that sounds really harsh, but you know what? 2033 is around the corner. Believe me, it goes fast, right?
I know. I remember thinking when it got to be 2000, it was going to be like, woo, and now it's 2023.
Exactly. So, you know, here's the scary part. We'll talk about things you can do to make it better, maybe, but here's the scary part. They're mm-hmm. talking about by 2033, excuse me, this trust fund would be depleted. Now, the trust fund is what they're dipping into to make the numbers work when they don't.
And that's the trust fund is what you were talking about that had $3 trillion in it about.
That's right. And anybody who listens to the news knows $3 trillion isn't all that much money.
Okay? So $3 trillion in 10 years would be gone is what you're saying.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
Okay.
Now, we have to remember what COVID-19 did to us as well financially, because they dipped into that all that time to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to shorten this timeline a little bit that we thought we might have to recover. So, yeah, I mean, they're dipping into the trust fund because the benefits each year that it's paying out are more than it's collecting in payroll taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to cover that shortfall somehow. That's where the trust comes in. Now, when that trust is depleted, which is what the SSA trustees are now saying and have been for a couple of years, when that trust is depleted, the only money Social Security will be able to pay out to retirees is the money it collects from workers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There won't be any more in the trust fund that went in there by everybody paying in all these years while we had, you know, 150 workers per, you know, one retiree. So now it's upside down. That means there's only enough money at that point. Remember I said we have three workers for every retiree?
Mm-hmm.
That means if we can only draw enough money from workers to pay retirees, that's only enough to cover 76% of the retirees' benefits.
And that's possibly with them being cut as well.
No, I think if they cut benefits now, so that's another part of the story. If they make changes now, the mm-hmm. sooner they make them, the better it will be for everybody. It will be an annoyance. We will complain about it. Nobody wants higher taxes. Nobody wants any cuts of benefits. But the simple math says you got too much month at the end of the money here, and something has got to change.
Well, so, the money's going to come out of somewhere. I mean, either you're going to pay a little, you know, some more taxes or whatever the solution is, or as you said earlier, there's going to be a whole other problem with retirees who end up being homeless or the other problems you were talking about because they don't have families to take them in. So you're either paying more for this now or you're going to end up paying more towards those programs that take care of homeless and other issues.
For sure. And you would pay less for it now than you will if you're the person who gets their benefits cut by, you know, 24%.
So, all right. There's a lot more to talk about on this topic. So let's get your phone number first.
Absolutely. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com as well. We'll be right back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram, right here on WHMP.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 to get 10% off your order exclusively for my listeners. Again, getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram, and we're talking Social Security.
You know, I have to say we're both doing pretty well at keeping our cool on this, but it's a hot topic. And any of us who, well, everybody, I mean, any of us who expect to take Social Security or who knows somebody who would be harmed by Social Security being cut is frustrated. And I don't think it takes much to see that we're pointing the finger at politicians because those are the people making this decision. And while I'm on this blame game, let me tell you, if you're unhappy about this, you need to contact your elected representative mm-hmm. and or the White House. I mean, you just need to actually, instead of complaining and letting it fall on deaf ears, sit down, write a letter, put it in the mail and get it out there. Make a phone call to their office and say, I'm unhappy about this, because people tend to live in a bubble, right? And if they're not hearing from you, they just figure out it's a mathematical problem and I'll vote one way or another and that's how my constituents want me to vote and mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. But I think people really need to understand how drastic this could be. And I think also the idea that it's politically unlikely to be quite what we're saying, that, you know, come 2033, there's a line in the sand and bingo, your benefits are cut by 24% and you're stuck dealing with it, right? I mean, I think everybody knows something has to be done about it before that mm-hmm. time. It's not a very long time to correct this problem.
Yeah, it's coming up really quickly. The $3 trillion that we're talking about, that's about that amount in a trust now, do we add to that every year? By we, I mean the government.
Well, we used to.
And we stopped.
You have to remember the government is us. This is the crux of the matter. I love how people talk about the government, myself included, as though it were some separate company or entity. The government is us. The government doesn't have its own money except for what they print, which that's a whole different story. But you know, that's our money.
Right.
That we, they decide where it's going to go. And
yeah, I was going to say they appropriate it in different places. So there is other money, whether it be from taxes or wherever, besides our Social Security, that they could have been growing this every year, isn't there?
Well, I think they've been trying to do this. Now, you know, we're assuming that all politicians would look at this and agree on something finally.
Mm-hmm.
Do I sound negative about politicians? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's hard not to. And I know that people run on, you know, campaign on Social Security, and but it just doesn't seem like anything has really been done. And we're going to get to 2033 and be like, what now?
Well, I have to say, I do have some sympathy for politicians individually. That many people do run for office because they want to make changes like this and they believe they can do it. They get into D.C. and they have this sort of, like, you can almost hear the album with the needle across it, like, oh, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of red tape, for sure.
Oh, I mean, so much manipulation, gridlock, lobbyists, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really difficult, I think, for people to actually affect change, particularly when you don't have one or the other party controlling both the presidency and the Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gets more difficult. That's kind of, you know, they bat the ball back and forth and we sit in the middle like people in a tennis match. So I think, you know, are they appropriating it from other places and do they try to do this? Yeah, I think this has been on the top of the topic list for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's often, you know, where are you going to take this money from? Well, we're going to... Okay, let me just make something up for a minute. We're going to tell insurance companies they have to, you know, collect more in premiums, and they're going to funnel this money in premiums off to this fund or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you say, somebody is going to be upset by it. You're not going to keep all the people happy all the time.
Right.
Even right now, and as it has been, with us saying, look, 2033 is the end of the trust fund. Here's the math, folks. This is how many people are on the planet. This is how many people are retired. This is how many people are working. You know, find the missing value here. Okay, you're going to be out of money here in 2033. And even with that, because everybody seems to have this, well, it's the truth. If you don't get reelected, you can't do anything, right? You don't have a vote. So they do what they need to do to get elected, maybe. Now, I'm not a political expert, and anybody listening to me would know that. But I'm a citizen.
Right.
And I'm somebody who helps people with their money, and I'm tired of seeing this coming closer and closer and closer without some resolution. If we cut these benefits in 2033, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
by 24%, that's about $17,000 a year for the average annual payout for a Social Security check.
I mean,
I don't care if you're making a lot of money. $17,000 a year is a pretty big cut.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
And, you know, that is going to equate to people truly being homeless, not being able to pay for their health care. Now, what does any country not want? You don't want homeless people who are ill, who end up, you know, we end up having a plague again and wiping out our society, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want people in homes with good health care, enough money to get decent food and, you know, live a normal lifestyle. That's what America was supposed to be, right? That's what it's been built on.
Right.
But again, we've abused the system, I'm sorry to say. It was never designed to be a retirement account, and it's been used as one. And now, and we've all done it to ourselves. I mean, not just the individual people, right? Society has pushed us into this. You and I have talked about this many times by rising costs of things, buying a house, buying a car. All of this requires so much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get your money from somewhere in retirement, and Social Security seems to be one of those places for a lot of people. And because pensions were cut and maybe they didn't have enough money to put into a 401k, many, many, many Americans are living almost entirely on Social Security, if not only on Social Security.
Well, I'm curious. I'd love to get your opinion on a couple of things. What are your thoughts on Social Security? Do you think that we should have it or shouldn't have it? Or do you think that there's better places for our money? Because Social Security out of your check isn't an option. You have to put it in. So you don't really have that. But do you think it's good, bad? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it was developed for a reason. And I think if we could come anywhere close to using it for those reasons, it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it matters what my opinion is. The horse has left the corral. You know, we are on Social Security for generations now, and we will be if we can fix this for years to come. The question would be, how can we fix it
mm-hmm.
so it continues to work properly while families are lessening in size and less people are working and more people are retiring? We knew this baby boomer thing was going to get us from the time statistics came out in the government and said, look, everybody's having a lot of babies. We're going to have a lot of people retiring.
Yeah.
And nobody did much about it. Nobody really thought much about it. Do I think it's a good thing? You know, I think it's a necessary evil for most people these days. And I think the idea that you could possibly just say, well, we don't have enough money, so you're going to have to live on 24% less is absurd. We cannot do it.
Right.
And as America. So one thing I did want to touch base on before we end this, because I started the show saying, you know, what if you're thinking about taking it early or you're already taking it, what should you do?
Mm-hmm.
And what else can you do to improve this situation for yourself? And the first thing is, if you're already taking your Social Security, even let's say that you had to take it before age 70, even you just, you know, for whatever reason decided to take it, just stay the course. Mm-hmm. You know what? I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it. It is what it is. Okay.
Right.
You're already taking Social Security. You can't change it anyway. Just take the Social Security and maybe squirrel away as much money as you can in preparation for this,
mm-hmm.
because at some point your payments may go down. Now, maybe it won't be by 24%, but I think the chances that they can cut enough money to keep everybody's Social Security checks at the same level and not strip other programs that are necessary completely down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is quite a game here to play, quite a balancing act. So prepare yourself if you can, you know, lessen your expenses, squirrel away that money if you can. Start to think about it. If you've been thinking about downsizing a home or something, maybe you want to add this into your mix and say, you know, we weren't really thinking about the idea that our Social Security checks might be cut or that our taxes might increase
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. And that's all going to affect your bottom line. So no matter how this is resolved, one way or another, it's going to cost us. And it has to. It can't not cost us somewhere. In taxes, in programs, in benefits, something's going to happen. So do the best you can to be conservative and protect yourself from that. Now, one thing I did want to say is sometimes I hear financial advisors now saying, oh, you know what? You should take your Social Security now at 62 because it's going to end in 2033 and be cut down by 24%. You might as well take advantage of these larger payments now.
Mm-hmm.
That might sound reasonable. And in certain circumstances, it is. For instance, somebody who doesn't have a long lifespan, or this might be reasons that you need to take it at 62. But remember that even if you wait until 70, if you're close to taking it now, if you're making this decision within this time frame, you know, if you took it, if let's say you took the $17,000 we're talking about as an average, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you took $17,000 at age 62, that's the average payout. If you waited till age 70, you'd receive $30,000. Now, I know everybody will say, yeah, but I'll receive it for less. So you have to have a balancing factor here. And the factor I'm going to use is, let's suppose that you live into your 80s or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
If you live into your 80s or beyond, you're much better off delaying those benefits.
Because your payment is going to be bigger.
Yeah, and you're not ever going to be able to go up from your $17,000 that you took at age 62. So yes, you get the money earlier, but you sacrifice over that 8-year period, you know, that difference of $14,000 a year.
Right,
or $13,000 a year, excuse my rough math, $13,000 a year. So, you know, when we do these shows, Jeff, I don't try to instill panic in the hearts of people. I'm just trying to make people aware of something that might be going on, bring it to the forefront. Everybody knows this is a problem. This isn't new.
Right.
Right. He knows it's out there, but take it seriously. Write a letter, pick up the phone, save your money. Think about that extra job. If you want an extra job now for a while to squirrel away some cash, prepare yourself because something by 2033 has to happen. And my guess would be in an election year, something's going to happen sooner rather than later regarding mm-hmm. how this works. You know, do we have an increase in taxes, for instance, which is probably the easiest way for them to do this, right? Nobody will like it.
Right.
It'll happen, or the money will get filtered probably to the wrong place again. Who knows? But somebody politically will say, well, let's just increase taxes.
Well, what about raising the age limit because people are living so much longer?
You know, that's another point that we've talked about in the past. And as always, you bring up great questions. It's another thing they could do. I mean, they've already done it. It used to be that you got full retirement at age 65 from Social Security. They
mm-hmm.
called it your full retirement age.
Yeah.
It's now 66 and a half. Now, this could continue. By the time the next generation can get their Social Security, maybe they have to be 72.
Right.
You know, and the argument will be, well, people are living longer, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you're living longer doesn't mean you want to work longer. And I go back to my original point was, Social Security is not your retirement plan.
Right. Do you think then that 401k should be required instead of an option?
Well, that's a tough one. I can only point to the Massachusetts teachers plan.
Okay.
Because that is a requirement. So if you're a teacher in Massachusetts, they take 11% out of your paycheck, whether you want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And people complain about it initially. And they say, oh, 11% is killing me, you know.
Yeah.
But it forces you to live on what's left of your paycheck. And at retirement, you know, they get a decent retirement out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So should it be mandatory? I don't know. We're back to socialism, right? Shouldn't be able to do what you want for retirement? Yes, but there's an old adage that says, and I've used this before, I'm sure, but the right to swing your fist stops at the next person's nose. And yes, you should be able to make your own decisions, but when you've made those and now you're homeless and hungry and somebody else is having to pick up a tab for that,
mm-hmm.
is it fair? And believe me, I'm not picking on homeless and hungry people. My gosh, I mean, talk about major problems to have in your life. But I am pointing it out because, you know, we like to think of retirees, yeah, they're on a fixed income. They don't go out to eat much. Yeah? How about 24% less in their paycheck means they can't pay their mortgage? They can't pay their health care. They can't that's a problem.
Wow. Well, this is a big topic, and I think you're right. It's going to be coming up a lot in the next few months for sure.
And beyond, I hope. But, you know, I would love to hear in the news one day that letters have, you know, been flying into Washington and flying into the representatives' offices saying, you have to fix this. And maybe I'm willing to do something. I'm willing to pay a little more in taxes, or I'm willing to, you know, take a little less in my paycheck to help the system survive in some way. You know, anybody who's, I mean, there's a lot of smart people out there.
Yeah.
Anybody good suggestion of what to do, please tell your local representative.
It's interesting because it's obviously an urgent issue, but I think we all think, you know, we're never going to be old. So we're like, okay, we can put that off because that's years away, but it gets here quicker than you think.
It really does. And I'll tell you, even if you're not planning on taking Social Security, you should pay attention to this because it's going to affect your lifestyle. When other people can't shop at your business or can't rent your house or driving down the street and you have to encounter, you know, terrible things you'd never like to see seniors having to struggle with. I mean, it affects us all. It's kind of like education when people say, well, I don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have children. Why should I pay taxes for schools? Well, you know what, folks? We're in a large biosphere here called America. It affects us all. So,
all right. Well, let's get your phone number.
Thanks. It's 413-773-3333.
Or as always, you can go to hugyourmoney.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 to get 10% off your order exclusively for my listeners. Again, getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today. Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. Getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella.
It was almost like taking out another mortgage in order to send her to school with her sister right behind her. So I had 8 years of college tuition to figure out how to pay for. My name's Ray. I'm from South Deerfield. We were saving about $1,000 a month, and it really was just a drop in the bucket. Other than their academic scholarships, they didn't qualify for any kind of financial aid. Because they were spread 4 school years apart, we didn't get anything. The bulk of their undergrad was on their parents. So we wouldn't have been able to send our kids to school or the schools of their choice without the help of the program. Megan has graduated. All her college loans are paid off.
Hug works best when we work together. Schedule your free consultation with a Hug Your Money coach today. Visit hugyourmoney.com. Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented.